The next one is meditation worship? Is it worship? Is it prayer? You know, people think it is prayer. So let's do verse number 3. Shastrokt bhavana drishte. Bhavana drishte pratike tadupasanam. Upasanam dhyanam vilakshanam tasmat. Yathartha jnana rupatah. So what is prayer or what is worship? What is worship? So they say shastra ukta bhavana drishte pratike. In a symbol, pratika means in a symbol or on a form, I worship that as mentioned in the scriptures. So in the scriptures, what is worship? Worship is I take a form and consider that as God and then worship that as an expression of God. That is called worship. But again, meditation is not worship. Worship can lead you to meditation because it is again abidance in the truth. So what is worship? Let's take that. So in our temples, we have a lot of idols. So you have an idol of, like we also have pictures of some gods and goddesses, or you have an idol in the main hall, whether it's Krishna or Ram or Ganpati or so on, Shiva. So on that idol, which is made of stone or made of wood or a picture, I say, okay, I invoke God's presence there and I worship that and I offer flowers and I chant prayers. So they say, how about in other religions? How about in Christianity? Well, in Christianity, you have the cross. Now, the cross is what? It's just two pieces of wood. Somebody will say, what is that? It's nothing. It's just two pieces of wood. They say, no. It's not two pieces of wood. That is something very, very spiritual, very religious. It's very pure. It's something that we worship. Why? Because it represents Christ. It represents Christ's sacrifice. So when I see the cross, or when I go to the church of the Virgin Mary, and they have a woman as Virgin Mary with a baby, you say, oh, this is nothing, it's just a statue. No, it's not, because it represents the Virgin Mary. So when I see a form that actually is not God, we are not saying that that form is God, that cross or that statue or that picture, but that form reminds me of God. With that, it can turn my attention to God. When I see that form, and then my mind immediately becomes, oh, okay, it reminds me of something higher than I am. And we see that also in the world, like when the moment you see the stars and stripes, you know, and then people are chanting the national anthem. Now you see the star, and somebody will say, what is that? It's just a piece of cloth. You know, it's nothing. They say, no, it's not a piece of cloth. It has great significance for me. Why? Because it represents my nation. It represents the United States of America. That's why when the stars and stripes are there, everybody gets up and salutes. Why? Because the cloth is not just a piece of cloth. It represents the nation. So similarly, when I see a form and I worship that form, it's not that the form is God, but the form reminds me of God. The form takes my attention to the higher. And that is why one should not get attached to the form, that this form alone is right. Because the moment you get attached to that, that this form, Jesus alone is right, or Krishna alone is right, or, you know, that alone is right, then what happens is you become fanatical. And there is only one way and there is only one form. The form should take you to the formless. When I see the form of God, I say, okay, this picture reminds me of God. But who is God? God is not just in that form. The moment you say he's in that form, then you're limiting him. Whether it's the form of Jesus or the form of Krishna or Buddha or Shiva or whatever. But God actually is all pervading. He's formless. Cannot have a form. God cannot have a form. Because the moment anything has a form, it becomes limited. It becomes limited. It becomes, okay, then God is only in this form. Then you're limiting him. What we say is that God is limitless, is formless, but takes different forms for us to love. Because it is hard for me to love a formless God. I say, oh, love the formless God. I can't. But if I think of Jesus on the cross or his sacrifice, or I think of Mother Mary, I have spontaneously developed love. Or when I, for a Hindu, when they think of Krishna or Shiva, they develop love. For a Buddhist, when they think of Buddha. That's why even the Buddha was against idol worship. They made so many idols of Buddha all over the world. Why? Because for an average individual, it is very hard to think of the concept of nirvana, you know, what Buddha describes. But they say, oh, there is a form of Buddha. He's the, you know, supreme. And so through Buddha, then if it helps you to take to his teachings, through the form, you go to the teachings of Buddha and ultimately reach that formless state which Buddha reached. That is what the importance of the form is. It's not that you should discard worship and say, from tomorrow I'm not going to pray. You know, I don't need to pray. Why? Because in the meditation class, we were told that you are formless and you have to, God is formless. That is true. God is formless. But for you and me, it is very difficult for us to meditate on the formless, to think about the formless. So you think about God as a particular form and then slowly go to that which is supporting that, which the formless God has appeared in all these different forms. That's why different faiths have different gods. You know, they have different beliefs. The idea being that all of them lead to that one reality, that one consciousness. And that is, so that's why meditation is not even worship. Worship of a particular form will ultimately take you to that formless state, which is my own self. When he is formless, when he, it's not even he. That's why we say God is it in Sanskrit. Because when you say he or she, then you are immediately saying it's a male or a female. Like we have mother goddess here, we have male forms. The moment you say God is he or God is she, then you are limiting it. Okay, it's only he and not the she. That's why in Sanskrit, we say God is it. It is neuter because it is neither male nor female. It is the energy, just as electricity. Is it male or female? It's neither. It is the energy that illumines all the bulbs, the fans, the, you know, the lights. Everything is illumined by that electricity. So that consciousness which illumines you and me, just like electricity has no sex, it has no form. Does electricity have a shape or a form? No, electricity is everywhere, all over the wires. It has no particular shape, no particular form, no particular sex. But it is because of electricity that the air conditioner works and the heater works and the fans work and the lights work. So similarly, this God or consciousness has no form, no shape. But through, because of that consciousness, you and I at this moment are functioning, are alive, walking and talking. And those forms that we see, whether it is Jesus or whether it is Buddha or whether it is the cross or whether it is the crescent, you know, again, you know, Muslims say, well, they don't worship a form. That is true. They don't worship a form. But then when they go to Mecca, they kiss that stone as representative of Muhammad. So, I mean, it's a symbol. I'm not saying that they worship a form. I'm not saying that because I think one Muslim took a lot of offense when I said that. What I'm saying is that the stone is nothing, a piece of stone. But because it reminds them of Muhammad, so they worship that stone. So it is just as you worship the flag. You know, the flag is nothing but a symbol of the nation. Similarly, that stone represents Muhammad. So every religion has symbols. Every religion has forms. They may not have exact idols, you know, but in some way or the other, they have some form that reminds them of the highest. And that is what we are saying, that these forms and symbols remind you of the highest. They are not the highest. That stone is not Muhammad, but the stone reminds me of Muhammad's teachings and reminds me of Allah, that total, you know, what Muhammad taught us about, that total Allah. So that is the idea of using these symbols to take you to the higher. So that is what they are saying, that remembering the symbols, you superimpose an idea upon that, and you need faith that, you know, okay, I believe in this. I believe in Jesus. Why? Jesus represents that Father in heaven. Who is Jesus? He is representative of the Father in heaven. And he says that I am here because my father has sent me to awaken the lost sheep. But the knowledge that there is only one consciousness is immediate. Knowledge is not delayed. It does not need faith. It does not need delayed results. So the idea being that this form should take you to the formless. And that one has to remember, because then you don't become fanatical. Then you see that one everywhere. And that is very, very important, because that way it makes you more accepting of other religions, other ideas, other scriptures, other books, because they all lead to that one formless who pervades everything. Everything is nothing but that one appearing in all different shapes and forms, because God alone was, Bible even says, and then from him, God who is infinite, all pervading, from him emerged this universe. So when he created the universe, he created out of himself. So he himself became the whole universe. That is the idea of this second verse.